Well, we're going to tell you what is going on. And Monday morning, time to check the agenda and see what is ahead in the week. We're joined by Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. So, Todd, what is your word for the week ahead?
Celeste, my word is thwarted.
I would imagine that word works in a lot of different cases, but we'll get more details in a moment. But Chrystia Freeland's also with us. She's the global editor-in-chief of Reuters. And Chrystia, your word?
My word is opportunity.
Well, that's kind of hopeful. Let's start out by talking about an opportunity for perhaps a negotiation or under better understanding between two countries. President Obama will start off the week with a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow. It was supposed to take place last month, but you'll remember it got canceled after Israeli forces killed 9 members of an aid flotilla that was heading towards Gaza. So Chrystia, the relations between the U.S. and Israel have not been entirely positive because of a number of different reasons. Is there a chance that this meeting with Netanyahu and Obama could change that?
Well, I think what's going to be really interesting about this meeting is the Gaza element, and in particular that flotilla. I think we've seen some interesting new factors come into play, particularly, I would say, in the tone of some of the U.S. voices that have traditionally been very sympathetic to Israel. You've seen some of those people starting to call for a lifting of the blockade on Gaza. So I think that will be a really interesting element. It will be interesting to see what impact that has on Netanyahu's position. The other thing that I think is significant that President Obama has to really, really take into account in this meeting is Turkey. Turkey is such an important global player, and having Turkey behave as a moderate Muslim country, which is at least somewhat, which is friendly to the West, is so important. We were talking about Iraq earlier, incredibly important for Iraq, incredibly important for Afghanistan. The fact that this flotilla situation has really alienated Turkey, I think, is really important.
And they're threatening to cut off all diplomatic ties with Israel without a formal apology.
Exactly. And I would expect in the backroom conversation, certainly the private conversation, for that to be really, really high up on the agenda.
Okay, we'll see how that turns out. But there's another thing going on out of the Obama administration. That's that they're finally going to possibly file a lawsuit against Arizona's immigration law sometime this week, possibly as early as tomorrow. Here's President Obama speaking on Thursday.
After years of patchwork fixes and ill-conceived revisions, the legal immigration system is as broken as the borders. Backlogs and bureaucracy means the process can take years.
Todd, could we actually see the Justice Department file in court against Arizona's immigration law this week?
Absolutely. It could come as early as tomorrow when the Justice Department and the bureaucrats are back in Washington. And it's an important wedge for the Obama administration against this law. The president himself and everyone on down has spoken out against it, that they don't want a patchwork, concerns about civil rights. You've heard all of those complaints. And the other important part of this, Celeste, and doing this now, is that comprehensive immigration reform that we've been talking about so much is not going to happen this summer. It's not going to happen before the election. There's just no room on the legislative docket, and the politics are all wrong to do immigration reform right now. So it's probably important for the Obama administration to make its position on immigration clear and to court, frankly, a lot of Latino voters, Hispanic voters, who are incredibly important, who feel that the Obama administration has shortchanged them on a promise to address immigration reform this year. It's not going to happen, so this is probably Plan B.
The action they can take without getting a bill passed.
Right.
Let's move on to China. Chrystia, we got news today that an American geologist had been detained. He claims he was tortured, burned by cigarettes, by state security guards in China. This is over an oil industry database that he claims was public knowledge, and he provided for his employers, but he's been sentenced to 8 years in jail for stealing state secrets. Is this going to be yet another wedge in the trade arguments between the U.S. and China?
Well, I think it's a reminder to us that even as China plays a bigger and bigger role in the global economy and becomes an incredibly important partner and incredibly important to court for American companies, China is still a communist country. You know, China is an authoritarian regime run by the Communist Party. It makes absolutely no bones about cracking down on dissenting political opinion and about treating people incredibly harshly. So I think that it's an important reminder to us that civil rights, civil liberties do not exist in China.
But, how they handle a U.S. citizen, it could also be a point of argument yet again between the U.S. and China.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that the other issue with China right now is a question of how strong is the Chinese economy? How strong is the Chinese economy in the world economy? And when you look, you referred at the beginning of the hour to what's happening on world stock markets. One of the things which is really depressing world stock markets is the Chinese economy, which had been the one source of brightness, you know, the real engine, it was just never stopping, is slowing a little bit. Now, growth is still very strong, but the the population is really big. China needs growth just to keep raising those rural people.
They're also restraining it to a certain extent because they're worried about inflation, too, in China.
Yeah, although they're a little bit, the restraint has gone a little too far. They would like the economy to be growing more forcefully than it is right now.
Todd, let's move back to Washington for just a moment. We had memorial services for Senator Byrd last week, and now we've moved on to seeing who is going to replace him in the Senate. What's going on with that?
Well, Senator Byrd's funeral is tomorrow just across the river in Virginia, but his replacement in West Virginia has implications actually for millions of people. It's not just about West Virginia. Here's why. Governor Joe Manchin was trying to be humble, saying he would never appoint himself for that seat. He's interested in running for the Senate. Everyone knows that, but he said he would never appoint himself, and now he's being thwarted by just about every powerful interest in West Virginia. The unions, the Chamber of Commerce, other lawmakers want Manchin to appoint himself because they say he's the only one with stature who can provide the stability of that seat, and then he can run again, let's say, in 2012. This week, he's supposed to be deciding, I'm sure he won't announce it until after Senator Byrd's memorial and his funeral tomorrow.
Right.
He's supposed to be deciding what exactly is the plan. Will he appoint himself, or will they have a special election sooner rather than later? It's all up in the air. And I should say very quickly, Celeste, I'm sorry. The reason it's important for millions of people, unemployment insurance is one vote short in the Senate. Manchin or the appointee will have to vote for it, and that's what people are waiting for. That
Todd
is UI
Swillick
benefits.
Is the Takeaway Washington correspondent. Christian Freeland is the global editor-in-chief of Reuters. Thanks to both of you.